Hello, my friends. Welcome to episode 85 of Tina For Real. Thank you so much for joining me today on this Thursday episode. And I've been thinking about what I could talk about today. You know, could it be something from my blog? Could it be something that you guys have asked me about through an AMA? Could it be something that just came into my head today? But I was thinking a lot about a friend on Instagram shared about a podcast that I did a few years ago with Dr. James Mars about sleep. And it reminded me of how powerful that episode was. And at the time, I remember listening to that podcast episode and feeling frustrated because he was telling me all these good things about how important it was to sleep well, how you needed to make sure you got enough sleep. But that was all well and good saying it, but I couldn't fall asleep. It didn't, you know, necessarily help the situation. And I don't know if any of you experienced this, but when someone tells you, or when you see a study or something that comes up that tells you you need this much sleep, you're not getting enough sleep, you need to, you know, make sure you're getting more sleep, whatever, I find that it goes the other way for me, because then I end up getting into bed and thinking, well, I have to get sleep. I need my, you know, certain amount of sleep. I'm already going to be not in bed for long enough now. It's really important I fall asleep, and it makes it worse for me. You know, I get the point that it's supposed to be kind of encouraging you to go to bed early, but when you can't, or when you wake up really early, which was the situation with me, you know, I got to the point where I was waking up at 4 a.m. wide awake, and I could potentially have another 3 hours in bed, but I just couldn't do it. Like, it was driving me crazy lying there just rolling around, so I would end up getting out of bed. So I thought I would maybe talk about some things I learned when I did go to see a sleep therapist. And you know, these might help you, they might not. But firstly, you know, when I did talk to Dr. James Mars, he gave a 5-question survey, or 5 questions to know if you are sleep deprived. So I'm going to ask you these 5 questions. And if you answer yes to 2 or more of them, Dr. James Mars, who is one of the experts in the world of sleep and, you know, studies, has been studying it for many, many years. I actually know him and met him once. Steve and I went as his guests to a conference he was giving, which was pretty cool. But if you are sleep deprived, you know, you might feel like you're functioning well, but you really should be trying to increase your sleep to 7 to 9.5 hours. So somewhere around there, you need to kind of make sure you can. But I understand that, you know, that's not as easy as it seems, and I struggled with that myself. So the 5 questions are, before I get on to what helped me, was, does a heavy meal, low dose of alcohol, warm room, or boring meeting make you drowsy? That's 1. Do you fall asleep within 5 minutes of getting into bed? That's 2. Do you need an alarm clock to wake up? That's 3. Do you sleep extra hours on the weekends? That's 4. Are you sleepy right now? So just keep that in mind, and don't worry if you did say yes, because apparently, according to James, 71% of the population falls into that category. And for those of you who read Mario Fraoli's Morning Shakeout on a Tuesday, and if you don't, I would strongly recommend going to, I believe it's morningshakeout.com. It might be themorningshakeout.com, and subscribe to his email that comes out once a week. Really good stuff. But anyway, this week he shared one article about sleep. Was really interesting. But yeah, all well and good saying we need more sleep, but how do we actually do it? So I thought I would talk about the fact that I did go to see a sleep therapist a few years ago, and although it didn't help me to get over my insomnia, I still struggled with sleep pretty much until I had Bailey. It did give me some things to work on, and it would make me less stressed about the fact I was getting less sleep. So, you know, I've always been a bad sleeper, you know, I did tend to get up multiple times a night anyway, and like I said, I would end up getting up at 4 a.m. towards the end. So that was what just made me decide that I needed to go see someone. I really do recommend going to see someone if this is someone you struggle with, something you struggle with, I should say. So you know, that's obviously the first thing you can do, but the main things comes down to that it's not necessarily the sleep that is the issue. It's other things that you are kind of dealing with internally, psychologically, that you are not able to process, and that's why you're not able to switch off. I mean, part of me now wonders if part of it was because of the amenorrhea. Maybe my body wasn't functioning correctly, and now it is, so I am able to sleep better, but I'm not really sure. Secondly, I just want to say there's nothing wrong with going to see a therapist. I do not see anything wrong with speaking to someone about something. Someone is in the expert field of this, and in the same way you would go see a doctor if something doesn't seem quite right with you physically, there's nothing wrong with going to see someone for emotional or mental issues. And so I really don't see the fear factor around going to see a therapist. So, the biggest thing that I remember that she kind of had me work on was what I remember called what if then but statements. And a lot of that would come down to, you know, in the middle of the night, let's say I couldn't sleep and I was thinking, oh, you know, here I am again, I'm stuck here. So rather than saying to yourself, you know, you build it up in your mind, don't you? You kind of say, oh, I'm not going to sleep and I'm going to be doing this. And then you get just more and more wound up. But she would say to me, okay, when you're in that situation, use these what if then but statements, which is, okay, if I don't sleep well tonight, what happens? Well, I feel a little bit tired tomorrow. So what happens then? Well, if I find time, I can maybe take a nap. Or if I can't, then, you know, maybe I'll be a bit tired throughout the day. Maybe I can have a coffee if I want one. Maybe I can get home and rest and go to bed a bit early, and then I can catch up on my sleep then. So it kind of takes the power out of it, because you're now thinking about what you can do to, you know, amend the situation afterwards, and it makes it not seem so scary. And, you know, let's say it was the night before a race or a hard workout. You would say to yourself, okay, well, I know that the night before a race doesn't really matter that much with my sleep. Or you would say, it's okay if I feel a little bit tired, it doesn't really matter. This is good practice for me for running on tired legs. So you can kind of change the situation and make it seem not so dire. You know, it kind of gives you back some of the control. It would allow me to kind of let go of the need to feel like I had to get to sleep right now, because it would make it seem like even if I couldn't sleep, it wasn't going to be the end of the world. I was going to be okay. And so that was one thing that really worked well. The next thing was a little bit more extreme, and that was I believe it was called sleep restriction. And this was, and if you want to try this yourself, I would recommend, again, so going to see someone first. But what I would do for 5 nights in a row, I had to go to bed at 11 p.m. and wake up at 5 a.m. I could not take naps. After 9 p.m., I had no phones, no TV, just a dim light, and I could read. And it was horrible, because I would find myself getting to, you know, 9:30, and I would be trying to desperately stay awake, you know, without a phone as well. You're kind of bored, and Steve would go to bed and I would just be trying to keep my eyes open. I'd be looking at the clock every few minutes, and you know, I just wanted it to be that 11 p.m. where I could go to bed. And at that time, I would kind of like crawl up the stairs, basically. But then I fell asleep right away. And when 5 a.m. came around, you know, I wanted to keep sleeping, but I knew I had to get up. So the theory is, after those 5 days of doing that, you've reset your body clock. And then each night after that, you can pull your bedtime forward by 20 minutes. So the following night, after the 5th night, so the 6th night, I would then be able to go to bed at 10:40, and you know, keep pulling it back to where you want it to be, and until you stopped where you wanted to be. So for me, that was 9 p.m. And in that situation, you're only allowed to continue if you fall asleep within 20 minutes. So if you go to bed at, you've worked it back, let's say to 9:40. And it takes you 45 minutes to fall asleep that night, then, you know, you you have to go back again and push it to the number it was the night before. And I found that eventually I got back to where my bedtime was at 9 p.m. and I would sleep all the way through to 5 a.m. So for about a week that worked really well, and I slept really well, and I, you know, felt good about it. But then I started to think about the 9 p.m. as my bedtime again. I had to get to bed no matter where we were. If we were out, I needed to start getting ready for bed about 8:30. And sometimes even when I wasn't tired, I would force myself to do that. And then, you know, what happened? You start to stress about it and it keeps getting worse and worse. And then that's when the what if then but kind of statements come in again. You know, think about the consequences of what would happen. What's the worst that could happen? And so, you know, it will just make you feel a lot better if that doesn't work. So those are the big things. And I just want to say, so if you are kind of in this situation and you're doing these what if then but statements and it feels like it's, you know, I started to jump to dire situations, like if I keep missing out on sleep, I'm going to end up injured and then I can't get my running goals. But then you've got to take that to an extreme. Okay, what if I get injured? Okay, well, I'll heal up and I'll try again. Or what if I, you know, run bad in my race this weekend? Well, then I'll take some time off and I'll do another race. So you just kind of got to take something scary about the situation and make it not so scary. And then one final thing I will mention is that she told me if I couldn't fall asleep within 30 minutes, I had to leave the room. So a lot of the problem with when you have insomnia or when you're struggling with sleep is that you build up an association with bedroom or bed equals stress. So as soon as you get into bed, even if you are not trying to sleep, you get that feeling of like stressful situation because you know you're trying so hard to fall asleep. So if I couldn't fall asleep within half an hour, I had to leave the room. I had to go downstairs and, you know, get myself out of the room. So I found for quite a while, I was actually sleeping on the couch until 2, 3 a.m. as I would try to go to bed, not be able to come downstairs. I would just lie on the couch and tell myself, I'm just going to lie here. And then what happens? You fall straight asleep. And so when I would wake up from my next sleep cycle, I would go back upstairs and climb back into bed. And so that is another thing that would help. It obviously wasn't ideal for a married couple for me to keep leaving the bed and sleeping on the couch. But for a short amount of time, it did work and it did help. So I guess I breezed over it earlier, but you know, obviously one more thing to keep in mind is if you are sensitive to sleep, keep the phones away, keep the blue light away, even TV, just sit there with a book in the evening. That blue light is so damaging to us, and if you are particularly sensitive to it, it's just going to make things even harder for you. So you know, try without the phones. I did also buy some of those nerdy looking orange blue light blocking glasses, and I did find they help, but who knows how much, because like I said, I did struggle with insomnia pretty much until I had Bailey. But I just kind of learned to just accept it, and I didn't feel so stressed about it as I did in those early days. And I think that stress, as we've talked about a lot in other podcasts, is what really does us damage. So hopefully that helped you today. I know I kind of jumped around a little bit and I apologize for that. I do have a blog post on my website about this. If you are interested, you know, you can go type therapist on my search and you will find it. And I hope this was helpful for you. I will look forward to answering a question of yours tomorrow. Thanks so much for tuning in. See you then.